We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So you spoke to Mason Foster via text. What was learned there?
Yeah, so basically what happened was this was after the Eagles game, and he had multiple conversations going on Instagram, including one with a group of close friends who were roasting him for a play in which Jason Kelce blocked him for yards and yards on end. Very bad play by Mason. Mason would admit that. And he was going back and forth with them and roasting and joking, to use his words. And I obviously had another conversation going with this fan and put the thing in the wrong conversation. And that's why he said he had all the laughing faces, because when you read the conversation, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, why would he have responded in that way to the comment where someone was backing him up? And it's because he didn't mean to. Obviously, the conversation transpired, as you saw from there, but it was him. And he actually has not used social media since. He deactivated his Twitter and has not been, like, all the posts on his Instagram since then have come from family members who are running his account. So that is what I was able to learn straight from Mason, exchanging texts with him, and we can go from there, I guess.
Well, at least he didn't come out and say that his account was hacked.
No, he owned it. It just that he hacked himself, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was listening to you guys as I was driving home from the park, and you know, it's kind of what you said, Chad, where, you know, the way you talk amongst friends and close private people, friends, family, associates, whatever you want to call it, is different than you're going to talk to people and talk publicly, especially in a job that is so public like his. And he was venting frustration and also, you know, trying to make fun of himself, from what it sounds like, on this one particular poor play. And it went to the wrong place, and now we all know about it. And it looks very different.
So you buy it?
Yeah. I mean, at least to that initial comment, I've known Mason Foster for 4 years and have talked to him probably at this point more than anyone else in that locker room. He talks every single week to the media. He's a guy that's always open. And he just, like, I know he's frustrated too. Like, let's not completely dismiss the content here. I know he's incredibly frustrated with the way this defense has played. Including at times his own play. And I think he is also frustrated that at times he is seen as the scapegoat and that everyone likes to point at him. And there's just sometimes it's not his fault. And this is not me standing up for a guy because he talks to the media. Like, it just is the reality. Like, there are plays where Mason looks like he's 10 steps behind someone because he's covering for someone else who's made a mistake. Mm. And the fans don't understand that. And, you know, I even say this whenever I watch tape, and I know more than the average fan because it's my job to know more. That's not braggadocious. It just is my job to understand what I'm watching. And I will often say, like, I think this is what's happening here, but I'm not sure, because I realize that without knowing the assignments on any given play, it is really hard to grade tape. And so when fans watch him on TV get out leveraged and, you know, a back beats him to the sideline, are there times he's getting beat because he's not fast enough? Yes. Are there other times where someone else blew coverage and, you know, maybe two guys were supposed to be to his left and now all of a sudden he's chasing a back to an empty sideline instead? Yeah, that's happened too. So he's frustrated. It's definitely not like, you know, but I don't think it's to the point that he's going to go on a public tirade against the fans and against the organization, because he's smarter than that. Mason Foster is a smart guy. He's also an incredibly passionate player who cares about the well-being of this football team and about them winning. And I think when you look at it through that, knowing what he is, it's why I don't think any of his teammates or his coaches had a problem with this. And it's why I actually do, yes, genuinely believe that this is the case.
Even if it is the case, even if he is speaking the truth, the problem is, and he should be smart enough to see this, is that this does not stand alone. It gets lumped in with everything else. Mm. And the explanation gets lost in the process. This is just one more brick in the load that has become the story of you know, what's happening at Redskins Park. It gets lumped in with DJ Swearinger's criticism. It gets lumped in with Zach Brown's comments. It gets lumped in with Reuben Foster. It gets lumped in with everything. So the reasonable explanation and the truthful explanation just gets lost.
No, I agree. And it is another day of ridiculous news. And
yeah,
that is what it feels like every day I go to work now. And it's not anything that I'm doing, obviously. It's just the team that I cover at the moment. And this is, I mean, they've lost four straight. And winning covers up a lot. And winning also, you know, just allows people to kind of go about their business. And when you have to really do a lot of self-examination as a football team, as a football player, you wind up doing, you know, saying things that then get misconstrued or even could be true, but shouldn't be for public consumption. And I think that there is just a total chaos right now that feels like this organization is out of control. And whether that's true or whether that's just the way the news feels is, you know, I don't know if that's even my place as a reporter to necessarily judge. I just, you know, my job is to just tell you the news. And it just feels like there's a crazy story, like unprecedented, weird, not normal story after unprecedented, weird, not normal story. And this is yet another one. So I think you're right, Tommy, that when you get that reasonable excuse, like, okay, I could see how that happens. We've all sent a text message to the wrong person or a message to the wrong person. We've all said things privately that we wouldn't necessarily want publicly consumed. Okay, that makes sense. But when you have it in the midst of all this other stuff, it just feels like another piece of chaos. And, you know, what you do about that as an organization is obviously going to reflect and have an impact on your fan base and an impact on your players and an impact on the people in your building.
And here's the other thing. And I you know, they have to live with it. Even the guys who weren't here for it, for longtime Redskins fans, this is about the seventh or eighth period they've gone through like that. Just like this, this is nothing that they haven't seen before for the last 20 years. There have been at least seven or eight periods where it seemed like, you know, chaos reigned daily at Redskins Park. And every time they go through this, it does a little bit more damage every time.
Yeah. And the question is, who is going to right the ship this time? And, you know, I do think if you're trying to look for optimism and like, okay, who's going to guide the ship? A guy like John Allen, like having him in your building is a good thing. I've said this to have some private conversations with people, which I will now make public, which is ironic considering what we're talking about today. But just, you know, other reporters or people in the building. And I've told him, like, look, if I was in charge of everything, everything is up for negotiation, except for that on the first day of the offseason, Jonathan Allen's jersey gets a C on it and we can proceed from there. We can talk about anything else you want, who stays, who goes, whatever. John Allen gets a C. He gets to guide my franchise from the inside. Because that dude gets it. And I thought his answer in response to Mason was really mature today. I thought his responses to the Reuben Foster signing were incredibly mature and showed perspective. And just he gets it. And we were talking to him today, and he was, you know, after the big media scrum, he's just like, look, man, the stuff that Saban taught me wasn't just like stuff that, you know, went over my head or like was sayings. Like, it's really how I feel. And, you know, to me, it takes more to not believe it when you see how successful Saban has been than it does to believe it. And so I believe all that stuff. And when you have someone who's that focused guiding you, I think you can wind up in a good place. So I think, you know, when you eventually start to parse through whatever wreckage remains after this season, and we'll see. I mean, who knows? There's a playoff scenario out there where they can clinch in week 16. It's so weird. But assuming that they don't all of a sudden magically turn it around and they do indeed miss the playoffs and there are some changes or even massive changes, like, who's going to guide the ship? I think 93 is the one that I would want, you know, steering.
What did you make of Zach Brown saying what he said in the locker room today? I haven't heard a lot of guys be as candid as he was about how his time with the Redskins is coming to a close.
Yeah, no, it was weird, but I thought candid's the right word because he's also correct. Like, he's not coming back.
Right.
It's a $3 million cap hit next year to cut him, but you save $5.75 million, and he's not been good this year. And I think that, you know, when Zach wants an explanation for why he's been benched, like, I just think Zach's version of reality is different than the evaluator's version of reality. By the evaluators, I mean his coaches. Like, Zach, I thinks he's a really good football player that has not done a lot wrong, and that's just not the case. He misses assignments all the time. He's not in the right place. He doesn't execute technique properly in terms of pass drops and things like that, zone drops, coverage. Just because he occasionally can have some huge tackle games doesn't necessarily mean that he's doing what is best down in and down out, because for all the plays that he makes, there's three or four that he doesn't. And so there's no reason to keep him. You know, I think honestly at this point you can look back and it's more than fair to say it was a mistake to re-sign him. It doesn't mean that he can't be a part of some football team somewhere. He's an NFL player. He's not a good one. And so, yeah, I think it's maybe the most self-awareness Zach Brown has shown in his time as a Redskin, which is a little bit weird.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.